Blog Talk Radio.
This is Q, your crew chief, and this is Speedway Anywhere, your podcast magazine for all things motorsports and maybe even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. Points are continuing to get shuffled, and the championship picture is becoming clearer every week. Got some cool news for upcoming events and even some controversy. Keeps things interesting, too. Feel free to join in on the talk at 917-889-2053 or email us at speedwayanywhere, just as it sounds, one solid word, at outlook.com, speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. We're going to throw the green flag in just a second here, and I want to mention that the beginning of the season had me very disappointed. When I was looking at the back markers of the field, all the rookies, it must have been 66% to 75%. And the season has actually been a lot more interesting than I thought it would. So, hey, let's throw the green and go hammer down. Cup Series. Cup came back to Watkins Glen for the second road course of the year and put on a first-time winner with Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott, third-year Cup driver, took over the old Gordon car, son of former champion Bill Elliott. Changed his number to number 9, Bill Elliott's number this year. But yeah, he finally got his first win in Cup on his 99th start. So even though Captain Kurt might say that it would have been cooler if it was his 100th start, the fact that it's double nines and the number on the side of his car is 9. That's pretty cool, too. More on Bill Elliott in a little bit. Big news about him coming up shortly. Chase Elliott was creeping up in points for the championship. He was staying, you know, up around that 16th place in points. But now he has solidified a spot with his win, locking him into the chase. Chase. It's all about the chase. sorry about that. It just came to mind. Last year's champion and winner of the last two road course races, Martin Truex Jr., finished second. Martin Truex Jr. was in the hunt. Definitely didn't lead the most or the second most laps. Chase Elliott did, with 51 laps led. Interesting, too, is that both Chase and Truex came across the finish line out of field. There was some confusion about Jimmy Johnson pushing his teammate Chase Elliott. That was not actually for the finish. His car did roll across the finish line on its own. Most of the field had to pit for fuel from third place on back. This gave the first and second place cars of Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr. a comfortable lead coming to the checkers. They barely made it, but they did, and that's all that counts. Points leader Kyle Busch I got confused there for a second because I'm trying to go off script. Points leader Kyle Busch led the second most laps, came across the line in third, a fair distance behind the leaders. By the way, it was during the final laps, third place was at least 16 seconds behind Truex and race winner Chase Elliott. Fair distance behind the leaders, followed by Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones in fifth. This means third, fourth, and fifth went to three of the Gibbs cars. Kyle Busch, Suarez, and Eric Jones. This is a repeating pattern throughout the finishing order on this road course. Kind of makes you think that the teams were all on the same strategy. Ganassi drivers, Kyle Larson and Jamie McMurray went back-to-back in 6th and 7th as well. Also, 9th, 10th, 11th was the three Stewart Haas cars. Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Clint Bowyer, respectively. Hendrick driver, teammate Chase Elliott, William Byron, obviously didn't have the same strategy, but he did finish 8th inside the top 10. Now, as the facts and stats sort out for the championship picture, Chase Elliott leapfrogged Jimmy Johnson, a race or two back, and after seven-time champ Johnson finished 30th on Sunday at Watkins, he is now 14th in points. But you have to consider that Austin Dillon, who's back in 21st, has a win. So this means that Johnson is technically 15th in rank for the chase. The big picture with four races to go before the chase is that Johnson can only lose one more spot before he has no berth in the chase. That could come from a winner. I have my own insinuations of, and, well, I guess assumptions to who that might be. But yeah, he can only lose one more spot to a winner outside of 14th, or one more to a driver surpassing him in points. Guys like, here they come. Presumptions, assumptions, insinuations. Guys like Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, they could pull off a win over any of the four next races. You can't count them out. Kyle Larson is running so strong. He's a teammate to Jamie McMurray. Kyle Larson, obviously, ahead of Jimmy Johnson in points. So the damage is already done there as far as Kyle Larson being ahead of Jimmy Johnson. And then, like mentioned, Jamie McMurray is sitting behind him in points. He could leapfrog him, too. So, we'll see how that goes. I mean, four races to go before the chase starts. Speaking of Hendrick drivers and Chevy, by the way, this is Hendrick's first win this year. Hendrick drivers include Jimmy Johnson, of course, Chase Elliott, who got the win, and then William Byron and Alex Bowman. They used to be the dominant force for years and years when, oh God, I mean, let's go into Ricky Craven never got a win under them, but he did later on. Terry Labonte, two-time Hendrick champion. Jeff Gordon, four-time Hendrick champion. Jimmy Johnson, seven-time Hendrick champion. In a partridge, in a pear tree. This is Hendrick's first win this year and only the second for Chevy now. you're talking some big picture stuff there. Austin Dillon, you know, Daytona 500, who cares? I mean, that is sincerely how I feel about it when it comes to restrictor plate racing. Eric Jones for Gibbs, he got a win, restrictor plate track. Even Penske, Joey Logano's got the one win. So, and that was Talladega on restrictor plate. There is one restrictor plate race in the Chase, and I think it might go to a driver that's not even eligible for the championship, if you ask me. We'll wait and see come October. That'll be great. Now, follow along here. This is where things get into the nuts and bolts, how the championship is laid out. You have Kyle Busch, by points, is in first and has 6 wins. You have Kevin Harvick in second, has 6 wins. You got Martin Truex in third with 4 wins. Now, you go back to Clint Bowyer, he's in fifth. He's got 2 wins, but he's also got 2 wins. See, that's where it matters, because there's a driver in between third and fifth. And I'll explain that in a second. Joey Logano is back in sixth now. He's got 1 win. He had held on inside the top 5 for quite a while. Now, you go from 6th to 11th. You got to go all the way back to Chase Elliott. He's in 11th. He has 1 win. Now, you go back to 13th. That's Eric Jones, remember? Daytona July winner. Got a win. Restrictor plate. So he's locked in. And then you got Austin Dillon, the first winner of the year, all the way back in 21st with 1 win. So they're all locked in. Those 8 drivers are solid. Now, as you go back and figure out the drivers that don't have wins, I'll read my paragraph, because otherwise I'm going to get myself off course. So if you wonder how that works, those are 8 of the 16 drivers locked in with wins. The 16 outside of those with wins, by the way, are not locked in. I phrased that wrong. But the other 8 that are currently set for points if the chase started next weekend are: Kurt Busch is in 4th. Brad Keselowski, 7th. Kyle Larson, 8th. Denny Hamlin, 9th. Ryan Blaney in 10th, Eric Almirola, 12th, Jimmy Johnson, 14th, and Alex Bowman, 15th. The Cup Series is going to go to Michigan for their second appearance of the year on Sunday the 11th. The order as far as points and playoff bursts, if you were to ask me, I think Kurt Busch in 4th, Brad Keselowski in 7th, Kyle Larson 8th, Denny Hamlin 9th, Ryan Blaney 10th, Almirola in 12th, but Jimmy Johnson and Alex Bowman, that could change real quick. Both of those last two, by the way, Hendrick drivers. So, before I go to the Xfinity Series, I am 15 minutes into the show. I need a quick little drink break before I cough all through the microphone, and then we're going to blame it on the rain. All right, let's cross over to the Xfinity series. Finally, rain tires. Windshield wipers, defoggers, taillights, you know, all that stuff you go down the road with. They don't have stereos in the cars, but I've always wondered if some guys do listen to their favorite song on the earphones in their helmets. Now, that wasn't exactly my biggest news, but there was way too many Cup drivers in the field for that stepping stone division. As the crews were anticipating the end of stage one, they were already getting the rain tires ready. And this was pretty much planned out in the morning. They knew it was coming. They knew it, you know, it would hopefully happen on a stage break, something like that. But there's a lot of drivers I was kind of impressed with. Sure, some had driven in sports car events like the Rolex 24 and other endurance races in the rain. I mean, look at AJ Allmendinger, for Christ's sake. But when you're in that heavier stock car, and, you know, it's not the same, not even close. So instead of sports cars, they kept the accidents to a minimum. There was a few. I'm not sure that drivers weren't quite calculating their own skills, because there were some that were following other guys thinking they could do the same. And it became quickly obvious that if you weren't the leader, you had to stay back, because the rooster tails of water were flying long after the rain had stopped. By the way, I was hoping the rain wouldn't, but as far as, you know, you got to be the leader or stay way back behind any of the guys in front of you. You're not going to be able to make a windshield wiper work. I don't care what the technology is. I think it was Brad Keselowski. He even had what looked like a feather duster type of rag on a pole to wipe the inside of his windshield. And that was kind of entertaining. He was better prepared than a lot of guys were for the fogging up. I mean, you got to imagine the heat inside of the car versus the moisture and everything. So as the sun came out and the slicks were put back on, a lot of strategy was played with how long cars would stay on the reins till the stage caution. Some pitted early for slicks. Some waited till the stage caution of stage two before they changed them out. In the end, Logano and Keselowski were leading till Kez spun, and Logano went on to win. Out-on favorite rallied back to finish second, AJ Allmendinger. He got hit with a pit row infraction and series regular Justin Allgaier took third after him, followed by Ryan Preece, who, by the way, a threat to win all day. The top five was rounded out by Eric Almirola. I believe he's got some background in road course racing too. But yeah, he is another Cup regular. So out of all the drivers in the top five, got to give credit to Ryan Preece and Justin Allgaier for staying up there with AJ Allmendinger, winner Logano, and then Almirola capping it off in fifth place. Let's go to, oh, it was a fun race. I really enjoyed it, though. It was so nice seeing the rain tires come out. I've seen races in the past where they go to put them on, and then the NASCAR officials are like, oh, wait, maybe it's going to pass. And then they swap back over to the slicks. But yeah, points leader Christopher Bell, who was on a 3-race winning streak, was only able to find his way to 9th. I was hoping he'd be able to get his 4th win in a row and tie the series record. It's kind of hard to do on a road course. So as the points shake out through the Cup guys getting in their way, I still hate those Bushwhackers. Christopher Bell is first in point, has 4 wins. Cole Custer, 2nd with no wins. Daniel Henrick, no wins. Elliott Sadler, who led the points for quite a while, still winless. And then top 5 of the actual series regulars is Justin Allgaier in 5th with 2 wins. So it's hard to explain why there's 2 races left in the Truck Series, 6 races left in the Xfinity Series, and only 4 races left in the Cup Series. So I'm not even really going to go down that road, but that is the way that it shapes up before their individual chase playoffs start. The only other series regular with a win is Tyler Reddick in 7th in points. He's obviously locked in. And as far as the rest of the guys points-wise, it's close. The biggest and bestest news is the Xfinity Series will head to Mid-Ohio for another road course. The reason it's big news is Chase Elliott isn't the only Elliott making headlines. Bill Elliott will be joining the field for another one-off return to NASCAR in the Xfinity Series. The Xfinity Series will run at Mid-Ohio on Saturday, August 11th, with Awesomeville from Dawsonville. Coincidentally, 6 days after his son's first Cup win. Let's hope we can see more rain tires, if you ask me. I mean, that would just, wouldn't it be awesome? No pun, maybe a pun intended. I don't know. Awesomeville gets out there and they bring the rain tires back out 6 days after his son got his first Cup win, after the rain tires were actually out on Watkins Glen 7 days before. To me, that would just, ooh, give me one of those feel-good tingly moments on the back of my neck. You got to love Bill Elliott. If voted most popular driver for years and years and years and years, I always knew that his kid was going to do just fine. And, you know, him and Kyle Larson pretty much has been the top of the Chevys. And, you know, of course, Chase was driving Jeff Gordon's old car. Originally started out as a 24.
Oh, yeah. So Jeff Gordon ain't bad for an old guy.
Well, you know, some of us base Jeff Gordon's performance on his performance. And then there's some people I know that base him on his looks. But pretty boy in a pretty car, and I've heard it all. He was called Wonder Bread before Ricky Bobby ever had Wonder Bread as a sponsor. So I'm anticipating a call, but while the time goes on, I'm going to get started on this subject. Well, we're on the road course subject. I'll cover the rest of the racing leagues soon, but drivers, Jeff Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Gordon ain't bad for an old guy.
Okay, let me start my subject. Unless you can speak Spanish, you're not going to be allowed, because this is about Jeff Gordon and a certain somebody named Juan Pablo Montoya, Brazilian. So Jeff Gordon and Juan Pablo Montoya swapped race cars, swapped seats. It was on Seat Swap on Speed Channel. And on June 11, 2003, on the 2.606 Indianapolis Speedway road course, Montoya was running in the Formula One series at the time. He brought his 2002 chassis. So obviously, you know how F1 is. They, as soon as you put the thing back on the truck, version is outdated within seconds. But yeah, he brought his 2002 car from F1, and Gordon shared one of his road course prepared cup cars out of the Hendrick shop, probably a retired car, but hey, obviously this was just an exhibition publicity stunt story, as Montoya was exploring stock car racing, but hadn't yet. He hadn't even started, say, in the Busch Series, Xfinity Series at that point in 2003. And Gordon always dreamed of getting behind the wheel of an F1 car, which is, I don't know, basically a computer on wheels. It does do a lot of the work for you, but you do have to be equally skilled. Neither guy was flawless in the opposite cars, as both got into the sand traps and grass on the infield road course track at Indianapolis. Gordon actually turned a lap on the infield road course at Indianapolis that would have qualified him in the previous F1 race at Indy in 2002. He would have started 22nd, but it still would have qualified. Now, that's it's a damn shame that F1 is no longer using that course that was purpose-built for it, the big old pagoda, everything else that went with it. But hey, it's still there. It's part of historic Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I guess that's really all that matters. Montoya, on the other hand, had nothing to compare his stock car average to as far as laps on the infield road course, because NASCAR has never used the infield course. Now, in 2011, Tony Stewart and Lewis Hamilton, the 2008 F1 champ, committed the same stunt using the full course at Watkins Glen, unlike the shorter course that most are used to watching. Stewart and Hamilton, they were shared by a common bond, as both were drivers for primary sponsor Mobil 1. So it was kind of a natural fit. Stewart brought a Cup Series car out of his own shop and Hamilton an F1 machine. The event drew a ton of the usual lawyers, loyal Watkins Glen fans, even on a Tuesday. There was even rain, by the way. So wet tire conditions for both to try. At the end of the day, Stewart was quoted as saying, "Had I driven one of these 20 years ago, I probably never would have decided on NASCAR." Now that's a cool little deal right there. Those guys, unlike Gordon and Juan Montoya, Stewart and Hamilton, they have big old smiles on their faces. And I guess Lewis Hamilton was walking around just doing all kinds of selfies, all kinds of, well, we all had phones with cameras by 2011. Not sure that they had those in 2003 when Gordon and Montoya got together, but hey. Stewart later became dominant in road course racing, especially as a IndyCar champ. You know, the IndyCars at the time were only running ovals as far as the IRL. Kart series, different story. Now, my point to this feature is Jeff Gordon was the road course guru of his time before Stewart. So it was a natural fit for him to go and take the road course in an F1 car, just like it was a natural fit with Stewart dominating road courses. Who would you even put behind the wheel now? We're going to get to that as soon as we come back. So yeah, on the subject of who is the road course guy nowadays, I mean, sure, Martin Truex, he got two of them in a row, and AJ, you got AJ who is the, you know, him and Marcos Ambrose, before Marcos left the series, kind of, you know, they went toe-to-toe when there was right and left turns. Can't deny it. So who's left? Or who's right? Because they actually make right turns. Sure, Martin Truex Jr. took Watkins last year and Sonoma this year. He finished second to Chase Elliott on Sunday. In years past, a lot of teams would have their full-time driver sit out a road race for what most would call a road race ringer or a road ringer or, you know. I don't know. If we have a roadmaster like Gordon or Stewart that could hold a spark to get behind the wheel of an F1 car. Any thoughts on who you might have do a trade between cars, Kurt?
Well, I think in an F1 car, I would probably just take Stewart because, you know, of course, before he was a Cup driver, he drove Indy cars. I mean, I know that's playing it safe. But if I had to pick a regular old full-time Cup driver in an F1 car, Oh, boy, who would I take? Throughout history, I am wondering if somebody, you know what? I'm going to say what the hell. I would have loved to see a guy like Dick Trickle try it. It would have been challenging. It wouldn't have been my top pick, but I think it would have been interesting to see a guy like Trickle, or I could even say somebody like Mark Martin, because he would be doing the enduro races in a non-stock car. So, you know, and Martin wasn't huge, but he could handle a stock car. Could he handle those speeds in an F1 car?
You know, I'd have to look back, but I know that Martin played bridesmaid on the road courses just like he did in the championships and whatnot.
Ooh.
No, I guess, and you brought up Trickle. I'm going to touch on that in just a second, because there is some video of him. I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about. But I was talking about contemporary drivers like A.J. Allmendinger or a recent guy, Marcos Ambrose, and then, of course, there was Sam Hornish Jr. Remember him? We got to watch him walk by us and... I think that was Dollar General uniform when we were down there in Iowa. Big tall guy, pulling double duty. But yeah, as far as contemporary drivers, I mean, the only one that I can really look at would be like A.J. Allmendinger.
I was actually kind of going there for a contemporary driver, too.
Yeah, as far as modern day and whatnot. Now, you brought up Dick Trickle. There's a couple pieces to the story as far as road races go. Now, I know that Junie Dunleavy in the Heilig Myers car put in a road course racer. But it was right around that same time that they got that classic footage of Trickle smoking a cigarette in the number, 64 Duraloop car coming to pit road at Watkins Glen. So that was interesting that you brought that up. I was like, that's got to be, I don't know, Buddy Baker, Benny Parsons, you know, whoever was calling the race, and it was the Winston Cup Series, but it was the Busch race, but like Benny Parsons or Buddy Baker or whoever, they said, well, you got to represent your sponsors well.
You know what would have been great? If Earnhardt, you know, winning one of his 7 titles, end of the year, last race, they give him the cup. So what's he doing? No, this would be great for, but though, instead of smoking a Winston, he would have been smoking a Camel or like a Newport, drinking like a Coors.
No, you got to remember, though. Now, if he was smoking a Marlboro, that's part of the Philip Morris company.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as far as Camel, you remember Jimmy Johnson, or not Jimmy Johnson, Jimmy Spencer.
Oh.
How the flippin' flop did I get that wrong? Jimmy Spencer, you know, he had both Camel and Winston as sponsors on his car throughout the
year. Yeah.
They are part of the R.J. Reynolds.
Oh, yeah,
I know
too
much about tobacco like that.
Well, before we go on here, one thing I think it would have been great to see Jimmy Spencer sponsored by Lifetime Fitness or something. He gets out of the car. He can barely get out because of his belly. Sponsored by a gym. Getting out, smoking the Camel or Winston. You know, that would have been great.
You know,
sponsor would have got noticed more, too.
All I'm going to say before I speed up through the show, there actually was an episode where Jimmy Spencer could not fit through the window of the modified when he
really
went to tennis drive one.
Oh, wow.
Real life. True story. He wanted to get into a celebrity race and he didn't fit in the car. I don't know whether to feel bad for him or just be like, dude, what were you thinking? Dude,
yeah,
where's
I
your
mean,
car?
Well, the guy had a job I could never do, so I mean, I'll admit that on my part.
Well, you know, I got to give my hats off to him. He did go through a massive concussion, and I remember, I think it was Daryl Waltrip went on to Jimmy's farm, and you could just tell that Jimmy Spencer had faded for a while. And those are the same reasons that Dale Jr. decided, you know what? I can't do this to myself again.
Yeah.
So, Isla Rose Earnhardt will become the next queen of NASCAR. Unless Amy Earnhardt and Dale Jr. Stop her from it. It's in her blood. All right, let's wrap up this piece here. But hey, for everything else road course, we have Awesome Bill from Dawsonville running Mid Ohio Saturday in the Xfinity Series. Maybe Bill Elliott can be the next road course guy to swap a ride with an F1 driver. I mean, after all, he got his first win. Where?
Was
not
that
sure.
At Watkins?
Riverside.
Oh, really?
Riverside, 1983 on a road course. And now his kid got... I think I'm going to touch on that in final laps. I'm not sure. Truck Series. Trucks had the weekend off and will return with the Cup Series at Michigan on Saturday the 11th. Johnny Sauter is still dominant in first with Noah Gregson second. Even though Gregson had to sit out because he was sick at Pocono. Trucks only have two more races before the Chase cutoff. Xfinity has six races before the Chase cutoff, and the Cup Series has four. If you're getting confused, well, I can't do all your homework for you. I can only tell you the facts. So that's just the way that it goes. And so, seven races in the Chase for the truck, seven races for the Chase in the Xfinity Series, 10 races for the Chase in the Cup Series. And you guys just got to watch this all come down. And for everything else, there's, you know, there is that 917-889-2053. 917-889-2053. 917-889-2053. So, you want to join in on the shenanigans? I will explain it to you, but you got to ask me directly because I type up enough notes leading into showtime. So, and we're already 45 minutes into the show, and I'm just hoping that I got everything correct from here on out.
Well, if Brittany doesn't keep on interrupting, maybe everything will go smoothly.
Well, the thing about Brittany is she sits around and she's like, are you done yet? And then
I know.
Finally, the show is over.
No, it's not. We're not even in the final laps. I just covered the Xfinity series and the truck series. This is just NASCAR there, young lady. So we're up to Indy. I mean, Indy recently took the weekend off. They have 4 races left. They'll wrap up their season in September. Indy Racing League is in their final stretch after taking a weekend off and will take another before they go to Pocono. So, you know, not going to be much to report after next weekend. Scott Dixon obviously still leads the championship. Alexander Rossi in second. Last year's champion, Joseph Newgarden. And then Will Power. He holds fourth in Ryan Hunter-Reay. So it's all about the Penske, just like with NASCAR, it's all about the chase,
I got to bring this up. Has Penske ever been involved in F1?
You know, it would only make sense that he had to have been in some capacity.
Yeah.
I think Ganassi has.
Yeah, I knew Ganassi. I forgot who's driven for him, but Ganassi has.
And Team Cool Green.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I believe they had some type of effort, whether or not it was full-time. The thing about F1 is, you got to dedicate to their sponsor. If you're running a Mercedes-Benz labeled car, you better make sure that you're in the right one in NASCAR as well, whether it's Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota, Pontiac, Buick. You can't go against the grain. So.
Oh, yeah.
So. But, yeah, the IndyCar Series, they will be wrapping up their season at Sonoma for the final race. I believe it's September 16th. It's going to be at Sonoma, be the last race in the foreseeable future for Sonoma, as they'll race at the nearby, by their standards, Laguna Seca next year in its place. Now, let's go to, you know, we need to awaken the force. Yeah, I wish I could smoke cigarettes at my computer. I heard that.
I'm in my bedroom with another orange-colored mammal and, and TV's not on, looking at a picture of American Pharoah while talking to you. And still trying to come up with which current Cub driver would be kind of cool to see in an F1 car. I'd have to go by their experience. That's the only thing I could come up with.
I just don't think anyone's on track to have that rock-solid road course. If Mark Martin was younger, I'd say come out of retirement and give it a shot. But, Tony Stewart was obviously a natural fit. And they ran the big 4.1 whatever mile at Watkins. And then, of course, Jeff Gordon won everything under the sun and the moon on road courses at that time, putting Mark Martin, always bridesmaid. Before we get to NHRA results, there was also a seat swap. You know, we're talking about the Indy and, F1 and stock car thing. There's also a seat swap Joey Logano. You know how at Charlotte they have the drag strip, the dirt track, and then, of course, the big stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So, Joey Logano got his hands on a, they said it was funny car, but it was pretty much a pro stock car, but whatever. It was a side-by-side. Both cars were double seat, you know, whether it was a stock car on the main speedway or whether it was the pro stock on the dragway, you know. And, but yeah, Cruz Pedregon, he took the wheel on the oval. He was actually afraid of it. You're talking about a dude that cruises, you know, however flipping fast down a quarter mile. The damn thing could go airborne and, hey, you pretty much, if there's something you left out of your will before you go to race day, you better get it in there. Now, Joey Logano, on the other hand, he took it in stride, but his major bitch was that he hated being in the passenger seat. He was like, you know, he was literally, that car would take off and his skinny little ass, it would float up out of the seat and his knees were up in the air and for the duration of the event. All right, back to NHRA. Let's get going with the event at Seattle. Brittany Force. Brittany the Force is sneaking back into the points after sitting out for injuries early in the year. If she gets in position for showdown time, kind of like the NASCAR chase, she might still have a shot. But currently, Steve Torrence, he has the helm in points. But it was Antron Brown who took the final over the weekend up in Seattle, Kent, Washington. Call it what you want. Ron Capps edged out Courtney in the final in funny car, but Courtney still leads funny car points. She's pretty rock solid there. You got to remember, it was a certain other power of the Force that got injured earlier this year, but was last year's top field champion. So, Pro Stock Motorcycle had the weekend off, but Top Harley came out to put on the drag bike show. I couldn't find any results as far as points. It just, I don't know, this Top Harley thing. It's kind of funny because of that name, too, from, what was it, Hot Shots? Topper Harley?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Top Harley.
Nokomis Minnehaha Hiawatha, as he said at the beginning.
Oh, when, yeah, the, All right, I'm going to fly through this second part. The big story of NHRA is that Rob McGahey, he staged a protest, and this is in Pro Stock Division, by the way, against the Jags team. Jags is Jag Coplin Jr. and Erica Anders. Now, Tanner Gray took the final after, you know, McGahey's senseless protest on the Jags team. McGahey had to pay $1,000 each per car. So that means $1,000 to get NHRA to inspect Jags Coplin Jr. And $1,000 to inspect Erica Ender's car. He lost it. he didn't win his deal. You know, you gotta love when somebody gets it wrong when they get beat. Truth is that McGahey has beat Jag's team driver, Jegs Coughlin Jr. McGahey has beat Erica Anders multiple times. So if he won with legit equipment, why can't they? You know, it just... So either way, he's out $2,000. Who cares, right? Right. NHRA will take a weekend off before they come to my home state of Brainerd. I wish. So much nicer up there than these congested roads. So NHRA will be at Brainerd after taking a week off. This will be Brainerd's 50th year. And I kind of hope John Forrest can pick up that 150th victory while he's here.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. All right.
That would
voice
be cool.
Break. Voice break on my part. Be right back.
Speaking of Moby.
Okay, I'm back. I took my break.
Oh, could I actually pick any stock car driver, and does he have to be in North America?
As long as you
to
can
be an F1
results.
Driver? It's an old story here, and I know we talked about it before, but I might just go with, although he's in Europe, Bobby Labonte. He knows the tracks in Europe.
You know, I got to get back into that story, and I don't have it right now. But, yeah, last I had seen, Bobby was not sucking. He had an eighth on a Friday and then finished runner-up, and that was the race that one of the guys in Europe was completely starstruck from, because he won the race, but it was the fact that he won it to a NASCAR Cup champion. So that was pretty cool. Let's keep plowing. World of Outlaws. I'm glad I didn't bet on Mr. Shots. Or Squats. Her shards.
The Schwartz.
The Schwartz. So, yeah, he's kind of, he's having trouble. So Schatz is on the trot. By the way, whatever happened to Stanley Cup coach, Stanley Cup winning coach Trotz? Do you even know?
No. Sure, it wouldn't be hard to find out.
Well, I'm trying to stay away from the puck and ball stuff. The puck and balls. It's bad enough when you say stick and balls. You say puck and balls, people give you a second look. All right. Well, that's about it for World of Outlaws. It's just not been that exciting. Donnie Schatz is like 2 million races, and he's got enough wins to lock in the championship. It's almost like a, Cleveland Indians versus the Twins. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter what we do now. They already beat us. Arca, 6 races left in the season, and they're returning to Ileana, August 19th. Sheldon Creed still leads the points. They've been off since Pocono, and that was 2 weeks after they were here at Elko. So let's go here. Dude, where was your car? Do you know?
Yeah.
Huh?
I still can't find my car.
Well,
no,
he didn't make
every
it
time. The... Every time anybody, I just still can't. I never saw the movie, but that clip. Ashton Kutcher and Sean William Scott. Dude, sweet. Dude, sweet. And since you started doing this, I just picture, oh, God, who would be the greatest guys to do that? You know, it'd be great to see the Bush brothers miss, like, Daytona, the opening of the season, and then they have an adventure, and you can't stand them, but to see them screw up and miss the Daytona 500, and then they get stuck on an adventure.
Well, that would be interesting if somebody actually, dude, where's my hauler?
Yes, yes.
So, last week's picks were crew chief with Martin Truex Jr. He finished second. And team captain picked John Force, who didn't even make it out of the first bracket of 8. So,
yeah,
that's another point for crew chief. And after the previous weekend, when the captain picked Jimmy Johnson, that gives the crew chief 2 and still none for the captain. Now, here's my proposal. If you were to think that if I just said Martin Truex, Martin Truex, Martin Truex, Martin Truex all year long, and then there was a driver that you had who was gaining some traction, we can make a trade, whereas only you would be able to use Martin Truex, and only I would be able to use John Force.
I know why you want John Force. It's because it's called Brainerd.
I don't want John Force. I'm just saying, if you had a ringer, kind of like how I did with Donnie Schwartz, you know, you could have canceled me out of using him at that point if you bargained a trade for, you know, that kind of thing, but... That's all I'm saying. We'll go more into that when Jesse joins us next week after his Carver County appearance. And yeah, we can work it out. So either way, crew chief with two, captain with none, and we're going to, how much time we got? 23 and a half. We're good. Multi-sports. Reebok CrossFit Games and big, heavy balls. Why would anybody choose to have to lug around those kind of balls?
Well, they're essentially weights.
They're balls. Would you go out to the grocery store having to carry around those big old heavy balls?
Well,
have you seen the South Park episode?
You'll have to go into more detail.
The one where they stuck their balls into the microwave and made them bigger.
You know what?
Bouncing down the street like...
I'd never seen the full episode, so I always miss the part where the microwave. I know Randy Marsh had a thing about a microwave, but...
Okay, this ain't going where I wanted it to.
I know.
That's fine, but whatever. As far as the CrossFit Games, I couldn't absorb what the, apparently it's like a 3 or 4 day competition. It's right over there in Madison, Wisconsin. And they come from all countries to compete in this Reebok CrossFit training division. So, yeah, they did a lot more than that. They'd run into walls and bounce off of them and kind of like real-life wall kicks from Mario Brothers and all that kind of stuff.
A little bit of everything in that.
Yep. So, hey, I guess I got to follow the Reebok CrossFit Games a little closer, so, and figure out what's with people who choose to carry big, heavy balls by choice. So,
finally. The show is over.
Well, we are going to final laps, but don't get too excited there. All right. We're going to wrap it up with some final laps. I have, enough time to do it, so I'm going to do it. All right, so 5 to go. Bill Elliott coming out of semi-retirement. Should that damn Buckshot Jones have to come out, too?
Oh. You know what? That would be cool, because although, let's be real, Buckshot did absolutely nothing, people remember him.
Oh, he did everything to Randy LaJoy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I say, why not? Bring Buckshot out.
What I always wondered is when you look at, you got Aquafresh for a sponsor. What does that have to do with the 0-0 being the end of a double-sided shotgun?
I would say right now, for the 10 people listening right now, just play along. Everybody I've ever seen with a double barrel shotgun, they never had good teeth. I don't know.
Good point. Very, very, very good point.
That's a point I hope that's never proved to me.
You know what, though? I don't care how much Aquafresh you use. It's not going to preserve the enamel on your teeth enough to withstand the recoil on a double barrel shotgun. But that,
nope, and no matter how much Aquafresh you use, and Buckshot Jones knows this, it ain't going to make you win.
All right, let's go four to go. We're going to do a stack of three. In HRE, Don the Snake Prudhomme, Don the Snake Prudhomme, or wrestler Jake the Snake Roberts, or Snake Plissken from Escape from New York?
You know what? I got to take Snake. I'm taking
Snake.
They're
all Snake. What do you mean?
I know. I'm going somewhere here. Look, I still love that movie for as bad as it is. And trust me, even now when it's on, I want to get out of New York. I still trust the Snake of the future, not of the present, not of the past, but of the future. Mm-hmm. And I want him to get me out of anywhere.
You know what I feel bad about is they made punk rockers look really bad in that movie.
Yeah, they did. So did Spock and Kirk in Star Trek IV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I could say
hell,
stuff, but
even the zombies made the punkers look bad in Return of the Living Dead.
If I had to walk down the street and feel protected, I don't know. I think I'd skip by Jake the Snake. But between Don the Snake Prudhomme and Snake Plissken, you know, I'm an auto racing fan, but I would go with Snake Plissken.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
All right, three
and
to go.
And then he had to get out of L.A., too. So...
there was that.
Mm-hmm.
Three to go, another stack of three. NASCAR's vote for popular driver of the year, Soda Pop, or that new show about the doctor popping zits?
Oh, the zit doctor. Because everybody's now going, I could have came up with that, and I'm thinking, you idiots, you didn't.
So you'd give up Pop, and you'd give up voting for a popular driver and hang out with the Zit Popper.
Maybe, because I actually could maybe get a practical use out of the Zit Popper. Now, the deal about Pop, though, that would be hard. The deal about Pop would be hard. Now, the most popular driver. You know, I wish that they always did a thing, the most hated driver. And you know damn well who would win it right now.
Who do you think?
Nah, Mr. Bush. And I know people that hate both of them.
People hate him bad.
Yep.
No,
yep. He'd win it hands down.
I'm actually curious about this year's, even though I haven't given a crap for 25 years. Dale Jr.'s gone. And, you know, it's opened the door to people that actually do their research and vote. Oh, did I just say that? Sorry if I hurt anybody's feelings. All right. Two to go. What job driving, if it was John Forrest, would he be best at if it's not based on racing?
He He'd be a great cab driver.
I'm kind of thinking garbage man.
Well, now, people would have to talk to him. That's why I'm thinking. That's why I'm thinking cab driver. Now, one thing though, if he was a garbage man, he'd definitely know the brand names of your garbage.
You know, this just came to mind.
But I would love to have him as a cab driver.
This literally just came to mind. Because, okay, he's got to drive something, right? So it qualifies. Mm. It's my show. It's my rules. And he could drive a food truck. Can you imagine him slapping some onions and greasy burgers to get bed? And he's getting all excited back there. And I don't care if you like it or not. Just don't come back and complain.
Yeah. He'd be a good food truck driver. He'd be great at customer service. I mean, yeah.
I don't know if he can cook. His daughters were making food for him on YouTube.
Huh.
Well, I don't like the mustard that way, because the mustard, it's got to be underneath, and the ketchup's got to be on top. And
no.
I'm just kind of like, maybe he wouldn't be that good of a cook.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of, yeah, food truck. That would be fun. I would go, I don't know, Uptown Art Fair, the depot downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, and just crash somebody's wedding because they brought a bunch of food trucks in, and just because I know that John Forrest is there. I'd go. I'd do
he'd
that.
Be, he, I think as a food truck guy, he'd even be great on Thursday afternoons when the food trucks are in downtown. They're on Nicollet. He'd be great. He'd be great at that, because there'd be people that couldn't stand him, but he, you know, let's just say, you know, because there are customers that just like to BS with you. He'd BS with you, and you'd have a good time. If you're that kind of person.
Well, and instead of Taco Time showing up to the PTW events in Calhoun Square, I would have liked to see, what would you even call that? The force of, what would you call John Force's food truck? Oh, God, I should have came up with that for a final lap.
Oh, God, yeah.
We're going to have to yank that one out for the next week and figure out what
we... You still got the K-Fan hat, by the way?
I never went and picked it up.
Okay, because I was just thinking you could have an ultimate contest to win the K-Fan hat. Come up with what would a great food truck name be for a John Force-owned food truck.
See, now this is just going to wreck my brain. All right. We're going to retire that subject. Yeah. If John Force owned a food truck, what would you name it?
Yeah. That'd be a great contest.
I'm going to type in that note as soon as I'm done with the show. You're going to like this next subject just as much. Well, maybe not, actually. I don't even freaking know. Final lap. It's got me laughing, so you better like it. Who speaks clearer English, Ward Burton or Mike Tyson?
Oh, man, that's low. Oh, man. That's more challenging than world peace. Oh, God, you know what? I'm afraid Ward Burton, if he's here right now, he'd just knock me out. Not Mike Tyson.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Mike Tyson just called.
I actually was going to say, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson speaks better English, but Ward Burton. Ward Burton, though, always has a sense of humor about it. Oh, man. Before I was afraid of Mike Tyson, now I'm afraid of Ward Burton. Man.
You got to understand that that was the easiest one to come up with tonight. The rest of them I had to think to. I didn't even edit it.
I got to tell people, if you're getting tired of listening to politics, people yelling at each other left and right, watch a King of the Hill with Boomhauer talking to Ward Burton. It goes on for only about 15 seconds, but it's just right away when you see them two, before they even say a word, it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. You don't even need to listen to them. You'll fall over laughing.
You know, before I came on, I only changed one tiny, tiny, tiny little edit about that. It was Final Lap, Who Speaks Clearer English, Ward Burton or Mike Tyson. The word clearer said worse. So it said, who speaks worse English? Ward Burton or Mike Tyson. And that is, so... It just, it's a little more user-friendly at that rate because who speak clearer English? I'm not saying they speak worse English. I'm saying they speak clearer. All right, Victory Lane, let's go there. Got to get back to the serious point. My Nick-o-meter is freaking pinging me in the brain. Victory Lane. I got to give it to the father-son duo of the Elliots. Bill Elliott won his first cup race in the final cup race of 1983 on a road course at Riverside. It's only fitting that Chase got his first at a road course as well. And Bill will be coming out of hiding for next weekend's Xfinity race on a road course at Mid-Ohio. So we're going to
conspiracy.
Close it up. Yeah, well, it is kind of funny how
are people going to say that they were there? Think about that. That keeps
well,
on
it's kind of funny
how,
you know, every once in a while it comes together. And the fact that Hendrick finally got a win on there.
Yeah.
Yippee, yippee, yay, yay. They got more than enough over the years. And Chevy finally got their second win. Without doing it on a road course, without doing it on a restrictor course. So let's call it good at that. And not my most exciting track coming up at Michigan, but it's still better than a restrictor play track. Usually I'm bored to death with road courses. This one kept it exciting. So, all right. Hey, I'm Q. I'm your crew chief. Captain Kurt's been on the line on blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the weekend, and we'll figure out this name for John Forrest's food truck. So let's sign off. Let's beam us out.